Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. It's Giving Tuesday, and we'll say thanks for your gift to help fuel Brave Media in 2025 and beyond by sending you Pastor Jeff's 25-day Christmas devotional, The Gift. To give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, visit PastorJeff.com. Again, that's PastorJeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff continues his message, Trust God in Your Trials, and helps you discover how the trials you face today are divinely authored for your growth and His glory. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
To give up godliness and to become a man and be fully God and fully man, and then to be challenged and abused and beaten and spit upon and mocked and then crucified on a cross. That's why he's praying in the garden, Father, if there's any other way, Dad, let me know, but not my will, yours be done. I'll endure any trial you have. I'll go through it all. I'll model what it looks like. Aren't we thankful Jesus went through all that? Amen. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead in glory. Show me one saint worth of salt in the history of the church that hasn't gone through something difficult. You won't find it in the Old or the New Testament. So why do you consider it strange when challenges come your way? Why do you think there's something wrong with you? For some of you, either there's this proclivity, it's in your health. For some of you, it's in your finances. For some of you, it's in relationships. We could go down the list, and it seems to kind of come back and get you every single time. Why? Because we're living on this side of heaven. There's no saint that you will meet in heaven when you meet him that will say something like this. Oh yeah, I remember my time on earth. It was awesome. It was just blessing upon blessing, glory upon glory. I was so mad the day I died and had to be in the presence of the Lord. It was so good on earth. Not one. So as you walk with the Lord, know that trials will come. Tribulation will be a part of your life. And when they come, just acknowledge this, that God is active. He's not distant. He's not somewhere else. He's actively authoring your circumstances. Now, you may never know why he authored what he authored. But if he's the one that authored it, and he's good, and he's merciful, and he's faithful, and he's true, and he's entrusted with some great trial in your way or some great pain that you've gone through, and that's for your good and for his glory, then it's best not to keep asking why, woe is me, and do what? Lord, I thank you that you're God of my circumstances. Show me how you want to be glorified through them. I want to continue to walk with you. That's what we need to do. When you go through a trial, acknowledge. That means believe. That means own the fact that God is actively authoring this circumstance for you. Amen? That's what he wants in your life. Number two is this. If you're going to trust God in trials, you must not only acknowledge that God's actively authoring your circumstances, but this is the one I've been waiting to say all week. You must stop whining to God and stop blaming others. Some of you missed that one. I want to say it again. It felt really good coming out of my mouth, both services. You must stop whining to God and stop blaming others. Notice this. In verse 10, it says, as Pharaoh drew near, so Pharaoh's coming with 600 chariots plus multiple other chariots and the entire army. And as he draws near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became what? Frightened. When you go through a trial, what's one of the greatest emotions that you're probably going to feel? Fear. Fear. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. How many times is that said? It's all throughout the Bible. I've heard people preach on this and say, it's said 365 times, one for every day of the year. I've never counted. I just know they're myriad. They're all over the place. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. So they're living in fear. They see Egypt marching after them. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Now, this doesn't mean that they prayed to the Lord. And the reason we're going to know they weren't praying, saying, Lord, help us, we trust you, is because of what's going to come out of their mouth next. Because they don't have faith to believe that God's going to do anything. Now they're in the blaming stage. Notice who they go after, Moses. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Moses, why'd you bring us here? Weren't there any graves back in Egypt? We could have died there. Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Friends, they've been slaves for over 400 years. They saw God rain down plagues for months. They saw the final plague of the death of the firstborn, child and animal, in every house that wasn't covered in the blood. They've seen God's power on display. They plundered Egypt. They left. They're completely free. And now, one challenge. Not so far later. What are they saying? God, why'd you bring us here? And Moses, it's your fault. We told you when we were back in Egypt, we loved being slaves. It was better to be a slave than being free. And why didn't you just leave us there? Weren't there graves there? I mean, it would have been better just to die in our homeland. Now we're out here with nothing. I mean, we have this entire army marching after us. It's the most sophisticated military in the world, and we're holding unleavened bread. We're toast. Pun intended. Right? That's what they're saying. Do you hear them blame? You say, well, why would we need to know that? Because we do the same thing, don't we? I mean, if you just think about it, I know this doesn't happen here at Brave, but there are Christians out there who, when things don't go their way, complain or whine or grumble or gather together or call on the phone or get together just for the sake of talking. How bad is everything going on in my life? Because they forget the first point. If God's the author of it and you're talking about how bad it is, what are you saying? The God I serve doesn't know what the heck he's doing. That's what you're really saying. I mean, how much time gets wasted? How much oxygen gets wasted? How much energy gets wasted because we sit around and whine? And then when we can't look in the mirror and look at ourselves for maybe what we need to fix, what do? We look for other people to blame. Oftentimes it's those who we think led us in this way. In a marriage, who do we blame? We blame the spouse. In a relationship, who do we blame? The other person, right? When it's finances, who do we blame? The person that told us where to invest wrongly, right? It's always somebody else. And we whine about it and then we blame. Don't blame people. If you find yourself in a situation where you're whining and blaming, what you're doing is you're missing out on the blessings that God has for you. Isn't it interesting? I mean, Moses is the one who was told everything that needed to happen. Moses is the one that's been obedient to the Lord. Moses has been doing everything that the Lord has shown him to do. And who are they going after? Moses, right? Can I just say this? Please don't blame other people. Your boss may not be a good boss. Don't blame him. If he fired you unwittingly and God's authoring that circumstance, it's because he has something better. Quit blaming other people. If your relationship didn't work out, God probably has something better. Quit blaming other people. Don't spend your energy and time blaming other people. I know when people come and make Brave Church their home, sometimes, not often, they might come up and talk to me about their last pastor and what he did wrong. I don't have ears for that. I don't want to hear about it. And here's why, because I know if you're blaming him now, it's only a matter of time until you're going to blame me. Quit blaming pastors for your lack of spiritual maturity. It's not their fault. It's yours. Stop whining about it. Stop complaining about it. It's not just pastors. It can be bosses, coaches, parents. We get all worked up about if my parents would have done this, if my coach would have done that, if my boss would have done that, if my pastor would have done that. When you find yourself blaming, here's what you can be certain of. You are not trusting God and you're not seeing his hand at work in that situation. Yeah, it may have been unfair. Guess what? Unfair things are going to happen in this world. I promise you. It may not have been right. I promise you, there's going to be some things that aren't just that the Lord will have to make right someday. But when something unjust and not right happens to you, don't complain and blame. Do what? Say, okay, God, I rejoice. This seemed unfair. I don't like this. I don't know exactly what you're doing. I may never know what you're doing, but here's what I do know. You're authoring this. You're going to bring something good out of this mess that's right before me. I trust you, God. That's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. And Israel doesn't understand that at this point. They're still whining and complaining and grumbling. It's kind of like when we ask questions like this, and I'll give you these verses. You can look them up this week just because of time, but Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Jeremiah 12, 1 and 2, Job 21, 7, Psalm 73, verses 3 and 13. You see the psalmist, you see Job, you see Jeremiah. They're asking this question, why are the wicked prospering while the righteous are suffering? You ever ask that question? Hey, Lord, I go to church and I'm hearing what I'm supposed to do and I'm actually doing all the right things and life is really, really hard for me, but there's this one over here. They're not doing anything you want. They're going completely against you and their life seems so good. What is going on here? You ever ask that question? Can I tell you why you asked that question? because you're envying the wrong thing. Never be envious of the unrighteous. Their time is coming to a close. I mean, all of us know the story of the Titanic. If you don't, I'll save you 3 hours. The boat crashes and sinks. But if you were watching people get on the Titanic knowing what was going to happen, you wouldn't be envious of the meals that they're going to eat or the quartet that they're going to hear or all the fun things that they're going to do because you know it's going down. Friends, the unrighteous are dead and are dying and an end is coming. Don't envy them. I don't care how much money they have or seemingly how much influence they have or seemingly how happy they are. If they don't know the Lord and aren't living for Him, it's a bad day for them. Don't ever be envious of them.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Trust God in Your Trials, from the series Exodus, helping you discover how the trials you face today are divinely authored for your growth and His glory. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment. But first, we want to thank you for your Giving Tuesday gift of support by sending you Pastor Jeff's 25-day Christmas devotional, The Gift. To make a gift to help make more courageous disciples in 2025 and beyond, visit PastorJeff.com. Once again, that website is PastorJeff.com. Now, let's get back to today's message for the conclusion of this teaching from God's Word.
I don't care how much money they have or seemingly how much influence they have or seemingly how happy they are. If they don't know the Lord and aren't living for Him, it's a bad day for them. Don't ever be envious of them. You've been redeemed. You've been washed in the blood. You've had the Holy Spirit deposited in your life. You have your entire eternity set. You have a utopia of a kingdom that Jesus Christ is bringing back to the earth that you get to be part of. Every good thing is yours. Don't envy the unrighteous. Amen? So let's talk about some truths about trials. I'll give you five truths about trials that you can write down real quick. When you're going through a trial, these are five truths about trials. Number one is this. Trials serve multiple purposes. They serve multiple purposes. Listen, when I'm going through a trial and when you're going through a trial, you know who we're thinking about? Me, myself, and I. My trial. This is my, it's not about you. This trial that Israel's going through is not just about them. It's about God. It's about Egypt. It's about all of us 3,400 years that are going to read it later and be inspired. It's never just about you. When you go through a trial, it's never just about you. God is using, has multiple purposes for your trials. Number two, we mentioned it already. Trials grow your faith. Trials grow your faith. Hey, Pastor, I want to grow in the faith. I want you to grow in your faith. How do I do that? Well, I can give you some ways. You can read your Bible and study it. You can be in a good church that teaches the Bible. You can worship the Lord. You can pray. You can learn how to be generous with your money. You can share the gospel with other people. Yeah, but I really, really want to grow. Well, then wait for a trial because you're going to have incredible opportunity. Because trials have a way of accelerating your growth if you respond correctly to them. And you know God's entrusting you to grow when you go through a severe trial. And when the severe trial hits, most of us don't knee-jerk reaction, think, I'm considering it all joy, God, you want me to grow. This is perfect. What we think is, this is the wrong time. This is the wrong trial. How come I can't have their trials? Right? But God uses trials. He uses trials to grow your faith. And for those of you that have done these things and endured different trials, you will say, yeah, God got more glory and I love Him more than I did before. Number three, when you go through trials, it provides certainty of God's present goodness. It provides certainty of God's present goodness. Psalm 27:13, David said, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He said, I would have been desperate if I didn't believe that God was so present with me right now. When you go through a trial, there's a nearness of the Lord. He's close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. Number four is this, trials impact other people. Have you ever seen a Christian go through a trial where they've done it well, where they've honored the Lord through the trial, where you've seen them and said, if I was going through that, I don't know that I would be as faithful as they are, and it bolsters your faith? When you see their joy and their hope and their countenance, knowing things have been really, really tough, it impacts other people. And fifth is this, and we've already mentioned it, it brings God glory. Trials bring God glory. Trials always bring God glory. Now, can I just say this? I mean, as I read this passage, listen, they've been in slavery for 400 plus years. And now what are they saying? It would be better to be a slave than to be dead. Can I just say to you, if your only goal in life is self-preservation, you will always be a slave to somebody else. The goal in life is not to keep breathing. The goal in life is to live to the full as long as you have breath. And there's a huge difference. Some people may die in their 70s, but they actually died when they were 20. They just kept breathing. Right? That's why God says that when we become a Christian, that we've died to our old self and now we're alive in Christ. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christian, listen to me. If you've trusted Christ, you can't die. You can't die. The moment that you breathe your last, you're gonna be more alive than you've ever been. Like, you cannot die. So why would you give up your freedoms to be a slave to someone else? I'm never giving up my freedoms. I mean, Patrick Henry, one of the founders of our country, said, give me liberty or give me death. I'd rather be dead than not be free. And we watched as a nation over the last 2 years where some people are like, as long as I'm breathing, I don't care. I just want to breathe. That's my only goal in life. It's not God's goal for your life. God wants you to live to the full. He doesn't want you to be a slave to anyone other than being a slave to the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes you more alive than anything on the entire planet. Amen. So when you stop whining, you stop complaining, you stop blaming, here's what happens. You begin to live for the Lord. You begin to see him work. Third is this, the third must. You must know that God is fighting for you. You must know that God is fighting for you. Notice this in verse 13, but Moses said to the people, do not what? Fear. Do not fear. It's all over the Bible. Do not live in your fear. Don't take counsel of your fear. Fear is, this is never going to get any better. Fear is, this is never going to change. Fear is, I'm doomed. Fear is, there's no way out of this. That's fear. We've all lived with that emotion. But do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation or deliverance of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again forever. Don't you love that? He's like, these Egyptians you're looking at, like you're scared of them. Don't be afraid. These Egyptians that you see today, the ones whose faces you're looking at, you'll never ever see them again forever. Why? Because human beings are eternal. You go somewhere when you die, either in the presence of the Lord or apart from the Lord. But you, if you know the Lord, will never see those again who don't. What's he saying? These people don't know me and respect me. Don't be afraid of them. Stand firm. I'm going to deliver you today from them. And you not only won't see them again today, you'll never ever see them again forever. Don't fear non-believers and what they say. That's what he's saying. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. Believe that the Lord's fighting for you. Oftentimes when we go through a trial, we forget that the Lord's fighting for us. We forget that he's doing things for us. We begin to think, well, if God was so good, then why this? And that's when the devil's voice gets loud and says something like this, either you don't deserve to have to go through this, or you deserve better than this. And if your God was so good, then why? How come nobody else has had to endure what you endure? You ever hear that lie? That's all it is a lie. Here's what you can know. When you realize God's author in your circumstances and you're not complaining or whining or blaming, then you can say, my God has my back and he's working through this and he's gonna bring something good out of it. For God works together for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. While this looks bleak, I know it's gonna be good because my God fights for me. Amen? Romans 8 and verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God's not condemning you. In Romans 8, 31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? My paraphrase is, if God's on my side, ain't nobody gonna help mess with me. I mean, if I have God in my back pocket, if God is fighting for me, I don't need to worry about who my adversary is. And we see that throughout the entire Bible. That when God is behind what he's doing and people are aligned with what God's doing, no enemy ever prospers in the presence of God. Ask Goliath, ask Pharaoh, ask the people that were living in Jericho, ask anybody who was an enemy of the Lord that when God's people aligned with the Lord and did what God wanted, if God didn't come through and fight for them. Listen, some of you that are dealing with all sorts of different things, emotional challenges, mental challenges, financial challenges, relational challenges. You name the challenge and the enemy lies and says, you'll always be that. You're always gonna be that way. This is just the way God made you. No. My God fights for you. He's a warrior. He goes before you. What you're going through is temporary. Don't ever believe the lie that the circumstance that you're in is permanent. It's temporary. Everything in this world is temporary, except for our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love verse 14, Exodus 14, verse 14. It's one of my favorite passages in the entire Bible. Notice what he says. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Don't you love that? Moses is telling them, shh. He doesn't even need you to talk. The Lord's got this. And I think about silence. Like, why did God call them to be silent? I mean, we know when God took them into the promised land, he had to march around the city for 6 days. And then on the seventh day, march seven times. What did he tell them? Don't talk. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why, but we can speculate. Because I guarantee when they were marching around that city, they may have known God was going to work, but there was doubt in their mind and there was doubt in their heart. And guess what they would have talked about if they could have talked? Yeah, we're really stupid. They could rain down flames on us right now and arrows. And this is so dumb. I don't know why we're... Shut up. Just do what God told you. He's good. Don't talk. I don't need your help. You don't need to tell me what to do. I already know what I'm doing. Shh. I was talking to my friend who's a pastor here at our church, a former Marine. He asked me today on my way in, what's the theme of your message today? And I'm like, in Marine language? He's like, yeah. I said, shut up and keep moving. He's like, I like that. And I said, I don't know if everybody else will, but you're a Marine. You'll get it. God doesn't need us to talk. He needs us to seek him. He needs us to pray. But once we know what to do, then we keep moving forward. God's fighting for you. Do you realize God's fighting for you? You're not alone. You'll never be alone. Jesus said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. I'll be with you always to the very end of the age. Even when you're going through the trial, even when there's tears and there's anguish and there's pain, guess where the Lord is? He's the God of all comfort. He's right there with you. He cares about every single situation, and he is the one who will fight for you. That's why Satan lies the loudest during trials, because he knows that if you can just continue to focus on the Lord and trust the Lord's doing good and trust the Lord's going to bring good, there's nothing he can do about it. God's always going to win. Good will always triumph over evil. That's who our God is. Then he says this, must number four. To trust God in trials, you must stand firm and take your next step of faith. The Lord's going to give Moses a command to tell the people. The Lord's going to tell Moses what to do. And then the Lord's going to say, here's what I'm going to do. Notice verse 15, the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. I mean, apparently Moses is calling out to the Lord like, Lord, here we are in this situation. What are we going to do? It's almost like the Lord said, I already told you what to do. I told you what was going to happen before it happened. We're done having this conversation. You know what to do. Tell the people to keep moving. We talk about being a warrior for Christ. When we talk about being warriors for Christ, we're talking about spirit-filled warriors. We're talking about spiritual warriors. We're not talking about in the flesh. God never wants us to fight in our flesh. What's he want us to do? He wants us to allow him to do the fighting in and through us, right? He wants us to seek him in prayer. God is the one who's going to do the work. And what's he tell us to do? I mean, the Bible says that we're sheep. We're like ferocious lambs. I mean, that's how the Bible defines it. That's why we put on the full armor of God. If you can picture an armored sheep, that's what Christians are, right? So, I mean, it's not like we're going to hurt somebody or offend anybody, but what's he tell us to do? If you read through Ephesians 6 so many times, stand firm, stand firm, stand firm, stand. He doesn't say fight, stand firm and let me do the fighting. Stand firm, let me do the fighting. Stand firm, take another step. What does God not want you to do? Don't look back. Don't go backwards. Don't turn around. Remember when God rained down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah? What did he tell Lot? When you get your whole family out, don't look back. Lot's wife looked back and what? Became a pillar of salt. Don't look back. Don't wonder, well, why this? Why can't I? Don't look back. You just keep standing firm. This is where I'm at now. God, what's the next step? And when you're standing on that corner of darned if you do and darned if you don't, and I don't know where to go, here's what I can tell you. The word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And while God may now show you the full direction, he'll give you enough light to take one step.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Trust God in Your Trials, from the series Exodus, helping you discover how the trials you face today are divinely authored for your growth and his glory. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a Giving Tuesday gift to help keep this program going. As thanks for your support, we'll send you Pastor Jeff's 25-day Christmas devotional, The Gift. To give, visit PastorJeff.com. That's PastorJeff.com. Before we wrap up, we also invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses in Englewood, Westminster, or Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream at brave.org for details. Once again, that's brave.org. Thank you for joining us today.